Welcome to this week's episode of CT Real Estate Radio. I am Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined by Rob Wallace and Alan on the spot. Low, gentlemen, how are we doing? First of all, did everyone survive yesterday's earthquake? Everyone good, right?
I think so.
It was the rumble felt around Connecticut, or at least up the 95 corridor, from what I understand.
Yeah, so I heard it hit in Jersey, and I felt all the way in Griswold.
I did not feel, I was at my house in Niantic, and I didn't feel anything.
My dogs were going insane.
That was my first earthquake. That's pretty exciting.
Really?
See, I still live in California.
Did you go live on like social media and like tell everybody about it?
I used to see earthquakes on like 90s TV shows, Saved by the Bell, and those things. They'd experience it, but
did you climb under the desk then? Since you used to watch all like the 90s infomercials. So
what are your thoughts? How'd you like it?
Our ISA team thought it was the wind. Certainly was not the wind.
It was not the wind. It was not Alan having an upset stomach from lunch. It was a 4.8 hurricane.
Speak too soon. That could have been happening.
Earthquake.
It was an earthquake that rattled up the 95 corridor. Oh, actually, 395 corridor too, all the way to Griswold. So
I used to live in California, so I'm accustomed to it.
All right. So we hope all your 94 Niners are okay out there and didn't have any, you know, lingering effects from it. Nothing broken, no broken pictures, frames, or anything like that. But man, it's just crazy because earthquakes on the East Coast aren't that common of a
Not
thing.
At so. All.
It used to be the one thing we were safe from.
Yeah.
Now suddenly we have to worry about that.
Right. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, I was watching the news and they were interviewing some lady in Ledyard that said they felt a pretty good size earthquake out there.
Huh.
So I don't know what's going on.
There is a Global town warming in Connecticut is real. That has that. Those weird noises they're hearing and vibrations. Was it Ledger?
No, that was Montville.
Oh, Montville. Okay.
I heard about that too.
Wait, what? Okay, hold on. Time out. What is this? What happened? Weird noises
so
in Montville?
So it's on the news that they're hearing some random weird noise. They think it's some company next door and they're going to look into it, but they're not 100% sure.
Does it sound like
it's like a soft, animal? Like humming noise?
Okay, like a machine, like that low hum of like a computer
something
or like a
like
big
that.
Battery or something.
Something like that. I don't know.
There's a term for that. Tinnitus in your ear.
Tinnitus of the ear?
Yeah.
Watch
That's
out.
What they
Maybe
have.
The casino. It's the nuclear reactor under the casino. I don't know about all that. Now, Rob, you got to keep tabs on this story because we got to break it here on 94.9.
If
we do find out what it is, if it is, you know, a nuclear reactor keep watching the news.
Yeah.
Scour the internet every day for information because everything is accurate there. But you know what is accurate? We had 4 Connecticut gems named 2024 best places to live in New England based off of their culture, their nature, and everything in between. All right, who's got a guess? Don't go scrolling through the article. I already sent it to you. Who's got a guess on what one of the towns is? I knew 2 of them without even looking at the list.
All right, so what's the topic?
Connecticut,
I don't have the article.
4 Connecticut gems named 2024 best places to live in New England.
One of my guesses would be Essex.
You are right.
You know how I figured that? Because was it Good Morning America?
Wait, actually, I take that back. You are not right. It's the town next to Essex.
Really?
Chester.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's Chester's
I
booming.
I love Chester.
Chester is
the Paris of Connecticut. It's got a very European
Chester.
Feel.
The European
Arts,
feel.
Arts, culture, restaurants.
I would say Mystic.
Mystic is not on the list.
Ah.
I will tell you, 2 of them are in, I believe, Litchfield County.
Ooh.
That's where the stars. Isn't Kevin Bacon live there?
Possibly. And one of them is my absolute favorite town in the entire state of Connecticut.
Old Saybrook?
No. Close. Very close. Separated by a body of water. Let's see here.
Oh, East Lyme.
Old Lyme.
East Lyme, Lyme. They're all, if you're from here, they're all.
You're from here, they're all the same.
A little more quaint, a little more coastal.
We've got Chester. We've got Old Lyme. We've got, come on, where else? Actually, we were talking about one of these pre-show here.
Ridgefield.
Yes, no. Ridgefield. Alan
good
on the
one.
Board.
Shout
right.
out to the
good
Ridgefield
one.
Playhouse. I saw the Goo Goo Dolls there. It's a really cool spot to go.
It says, if you crave a thriving art scene with a touch of big city flair, Ridgefield is the place for you. Located less than an hour from New York City, this picturesque town boasts a wealth of cultural offerings, including community and professional theaters, an art museum, a history museum, and an orchestra. Wow. Hmm. I've heard of Ridgefield Playhouse. Ridgefield's artistic legacy is further solidified by the impressive list of creative minds who've called it home, including cartoonist Roz Chast. I don't know him. Playwright Eugene O'Neill. Know that one. And author Maurice Sendak. All right. Who's cartoonist Roz Chast?
I have no idea.
I don't either. So while I tell them the fourth town, why doesn't somebody look that up? And rounding out the top 4 gems, best towns to live in New England, we've got Kent, Connecticut. a remote work paradise with big city appeal. This is up in the northwest corner. So yeah, Kent, Cornwall. They call it, I think it's a sleepy corner. I think it's what they actually call it. Oh, quiet corner.
Quiet corner. Yep.
Sleepy corner's up near you, right? Up 395 Putnam.
No, above, that's the quiet corner. You got Woodstock and all that.
Oh, gotcha.
Quiet corner.
Yeah, so Kent, Connecticut, calling all remote workers with a taste for the finer things. Kent offers the perfect blend of rural tranquility and sophisticated charm. Enjoy the clean air and endless outdoor recreational opportunities while staying connected with the world thanks to reliable internet. I like how they put that in there. Because I've been driving through Kent before and like you don't have cell service. You got to have internet.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When you crave a break from working remotely, explore the three state parks within Kent's borders. Browse the independent bookstore or indulge in a culinary masterpiece at one of the town's acclaimed restaurants, including the celebrated Ore Hill. Kent seamlessly blends the convenience of modern life with the beauty and peace of a country retreat. All right. Who's got it? Who is this cartoonist?
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was Rocco's Modern Life, but I guess not. Nope. I have no idea. I don't know any of these cartoons.
That is still TBD 949. We will find out who Roz Chast is here. I thought Google was our friend, but apparently it's really challenging us right now.
It looks like something off a newspaper.
Oh, he was a newspaper cartoon artist. Okay.
I think it's a she.
She. I apologize. She was a newspaper cartoon artist. I used to read the Sunday comics.
Oh, so she has books.
And she writes books.
I Must Be Dreaming.
I Must Be Dreaming is one of the books by Roz Chast. All right.
Can we get her on next week's show? Possibly? Oh, she's in the New Yorker.
Cartoonist for the New Yorker. All right. Way to go. What else? Theories of Everything, some kids' books, 101 two-letter words.
Wow.
I really dig it. I probably read some of these books when I was a kid and just like literally don't remember.
Do we know if she does the artwork too? Yeah. Oh, wow.
She does the artwork too. Only does she write the stories, she also does the artwork. Maybe we can reach out to her.
She's a RISD alumni. Right. All right.
And if she's still in Connecticut in the Kent area, or no, sorry, in the Richfield area, we can get her on to talk about her work. I don't know.
Awesome.
All right. Who wants to take that for homework?
I'm on it.
All right. Alan's on it.
We'll meet in Chester because Chester is very similar to Richfield. Hence why they both made the list.
That's why they both made the list, right? So your top four, we had Old Lyme, Connecticut, Chester, Connecticut, Richfield, Connecticut, and Kent, Connecticut, named as the best places to live in New England. Based off their culture, nature, and everything in between. Man, so we had a busy month in the month of March here on the One Team, and the market still hasn't really, I haven't felt that spring market rush yet. Have you guys started to feel that at all?
I thought I was feeling it last month.
Last month?
I don't think we ever had the switch almost, that's why.
From inventory perspective, though, we definitely haven't feeling it because we've got all of March's numbers that we're going to break down for the 94.9ers out there when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. We are back on CT Real Estate Radio. I am Chaz Cook, joined by Rob Wallace and Alan on the spot low from the One Team at William Ravis, your number one team from 2000 through... Well, we're out in front this year, too. In 2024, for most transactions, that is most families helped buying, selling, or investing in real estate. And we are not going to slow down by any means, are we, gentlemen?
Negative.
And we were just talking before we hit the break there. Actually, while we were on the break, Alan decided to fill us in on a little tidbit. I mean, we had this whole conversation on Chester, Connecticut, and he didn't tell us he saw maybe the most famous character from Game of Thrones there in person.
Oh, is
in
that
a play.
Who that is?
Yeah, Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Yep.
So who is he on? I'm sorry.
Oh, he's Tyrion Lannister.
Really?
He saw Tyrion Lannister. Yeah, he stole the show.
Just over the river and East Haddam, they have the Goodspeed Opera House where Annie was invented. Go to Chester, they have the Goodspeed Opera House's theater sister theater. And that's, he did a 1 month stint there.
What's the name of the sister theater?
The Goodspeed.
Oh, it is the Goodspeed? Yeah, just not. So that's the Goodspeed, and the other one's the Goodspeed Opera
Goodspeed
House?
Goodspeed Chester, I think they call
Goodspeed
it.
Goodspeed Chester.
And he was getting coffee every morning downtown. Him and his wife would walk around. They really liked it.
Was he recognizable? Did he look like Tyrion?
Oh, yeah. Well,
so, Rob, since you don't know who Peter Dinklage is.
I know Tyrion Lannister is.
Tyrion is a little person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's only like 4 feet tall. So he's very recognizable. I don't even know his actual height. But yeah, he is. And he's a great actor.
He was one of my favorite characters on there. He came up.
He's in a lot of stuff.
He has been since then as well, So
it was so popular, my wife and I had to sit in separate seats because it sold out that quick. It's the only seats we could get. And now it's out on movies. See or no?
Cyrano. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the name of the game is go visit one of these four towns that were voted top towns in New England to live in. And you never know who you're going to run into. A cartoon artist, Peter Dinklage, Tyrion Lannister, right? I know. Never know. Alan Spotlow might be there in Chester. Yeah. He's right down the road from there. So we were talking about inventory before we went to the break. And, you know, we have all of the March data to look back at. And I know we felt an influx of buyers and wanting to see houses. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you guys what, last weekend I wrote an offer and I was one of 15.
I was one of 31.
One of 31.
31.
Wow. See, I thought I had you beat, but I was one of 28. So
right. So we're seeing competition, but we're not seeing the spring market that we're normally used to seeing, which is an influx of listings.
Right. I read somewhere, I think it was in California, the highest offer amounts that came in on a home was like 87.
87?
I saw it on. I can't remember what I saw it on.
87 offers.
We had someone on our team, 93.
Who was that?
Candace.
93.
Oh, that's right. Candace had that little ranch. Yeah, she had a little ranch with 93 offers.
Wow. Yeah, this is on like E! News or something. I don't know. Something on TV, but.
I mean, just like the organizational process of that. And then how do you do it? Like, I mean, maybe 10% of them right out of the gates, you're like, okay, these aren't going to cut it.
Yeah.
But you get down to those final five and like, then you're just nitpicking terms and, you know, you're calling the other agents to say, hey, what can you do here? What can you do there? Like,
imagine updating all 93, right? Only one can win.
Only one can
win. You have to update the other 92.
Huh. That's crazy. But yeah, so inventory, that's why we're seeing 93, 88, 31, 28, 15.
Right.
Is because we're actually down. This is for single family homes across the entire state of Connecticut. We're down 17% year over year.
I believe it.
We had 30,462 new listings for the month of March. And in March 2023, we had March 36,698.
Wow.
So I always like to do like the pre-pandemic look back, right? Because that's always the fun one to kind of look at too. Mm-hmm. In March of 2019, we had 53,325 new listings in the month.
So crazy.
So yeah, to only be coming in to just barely be breaking 30,000 for single family homes. For all property types, we had 39,430. So there was some multifamilies, condos, mobile homes, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I missed the market pre-pandemic. I really missed that market.
Where it was a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Where, yeah, it's just, you think you're coming to the turning point of it, right? You're like, all right, we're going to start to kind of get healthy again.
I thought we were going to see that.
And then all of a sudden we hit this 60-day stretch and it's just run. Submit as many offers as you can and just pray that one of them gets accepted.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the only market that I know.
That's true. Yeah. That is the only market that you know. I came in just before it, so I didn't have like a lot of experience with it. But definitely is a crazy time. And we've been on this run for 4 years now. Right, we are officially past the 4 year mark of when the state shut down.
Isn't it weird how that flies by?
I know, because I'm seeing all like the Facebook memories pop up. So just like thinking about all of that and like all the all the things we did, even here on the one team, we started doing like virtual open houses. So we all got on a Zoom and went live on Facebook at an open house. So we took our phones and kind of walked around to show it. I mean, we were just trying to stay connected to people. So, wow, how the world has changed in 4 years.
It really has.
But let's see how sales prices have changed. All right. I always like to put everybody on the hot seat. You think we're over or under last month's median sale price? Single family homes.
I think we are over.
Over? Alan?
I bet you it's very, very close. Over?
That is correct. We are over. In February, we were at, my cursor got stuck there. We were at 400,000 for a single family home median sales price in the entire state of Connecticut. In March, we hit 405,000.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Crazy part about that. So we talked a couple of weeks ago, home prices are appreciating around 3.5% nationally.
Yep.
Connecticut has been over 10, and in three of our major counties, our up and coming counties were like at 11 or higher. Mm-hmm. I think one of them was even 17. The entire state of Connecticut single family homes median sale price, that's up 8% year over year.
Wow.
So coming into like the spring market when things are going to get more competitive and home prices are going to continue to go up even more because there's still that much more competition.
Exactly.
Basically what I'm saying is we went through the winter and still had an 8% appreciation, right? We went through our slowest time where usually where prices dip a little bit.
Right. It's impressive.
What are we looking at for average sales price here? So average sales price for single family homes in the state of Connecticut, $581,147. Also up 8.2% year over year. So another 8% increase. So median sales price and average sales price both up 8%. And this is what I was talking about before, right? We're down 16% in listings. Where are we at in months of supply? Oh, this is, I love this.
Negative two.
No, so in January 2024, I would love to share this stat. So we went from January 2023 to January 2024 at 2 months of supply for single family homes in the entire state of Connecticut. So no new homes came on the market. In 2 months, we would completely sell out. Then we had a big jump. In February, we jumped to 2.1.
Ah.
So for the first time in 12 months, we have over 2 months of supply.
I don't remember the last time we've seen that.
Right? It's been 12 months. We've been talking about how we don't have any inventory. And in March, we stayed flat at 2.1.
Wow.
So I guess you could say we have had a little bit of a spring market.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's your answer.
A tenth of a month. But we're still down 16% in number of new listings. But yeah, we jumped from 2 to 2.1. So not big numbers.
Which is up 5%.
It's up 5% year over year. What else do you guys want to look at? No, we did new listings. How about homes for sale? How many single family homes do you think are for sale at were for sale at the end of March?
Oh man. I don't know, a couple thousand.
Close. Couple. No, a couple more than a couple.
Four.
4,705. Which is down 21.8%. So in March of 2023, we were at 6,018. And I remember in March of 2013, like we were busy then with 6,000 homes, you know, call it 1,300 more homes for sale than we had this year.
Right.
Man.
Wow.
This is just it. I was hoping to see like a light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I was kind of trying to project with these numbers here. I'm like, we're getting there. Yeah, no, we're not.
Slide scale seems to be going down.
So if you were considering selling in the next 60, 90 days, actually, even probably up to the next 6 months, I would seriously consider putting your foot on the pedal and getting that ball rolling.
Yes.
Because right now, actually, I was at a listing appointment on Thursday night. And one of the conversations we had with the seller was, in this price range, you are the only home in the entire town.
Mm.
So if you came on the market, everyone who's looking in that price range or, you know, plus or minus $10,000, you're going to shine bright. Because there was from where she was going to go. So this was in Madison. So we were potentially house was going to come on the market for $630,000. The next closest house was $599,000. The next one above that was $739,900.
Wow.
Like that's a huge discrepancy. So if you come on and you know, you market the house, right. You show it right at $630,000 in Madison, you're going to have so much competition.
I agree. 100%. That's a good price point too. Especially for Madison.
Yep. Great price point for Madison. Yeah. And, you know, when you don't have any other competition, it's you or nobody. So
I love the strategy. I like where you came up with that too. And I hope your sellers understood that.
They did. She actually was very receptive to it because, you know, interestingly enough, our numbers were pretty much spot on to each other. But she was like, I had no idea that I was the only one who would be like living in this playing field. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, she said to her husband, she's like, we need to get the house ready faster. Cause they were thinking like mid-May. She's like, I want to get it ready now while there's still nobody else to compete
with. That's good.
And we're like, listen, even if somebody does come on between now and the time you guys go live, they're probably not going to last. Right. Which means if there's 10 offers on that house, that there's going to be 9 other people waiting to see your house.
Right.
So that was how we helped them kind of take a breath and not rush into things and still get prepared.
That's awesome.
All right. Days on market. What do you guys think? We're going to go average days on market here. Oh, we saw another big jump. Woo.
What were we, 14? I don't know.
So average, we were from November 2023 through February 2024, we were at 34.
30, yep, I remember that.
Yep, and so we did see a slight uptick in March for average days on market. We jumped up to 36.
36.
So 2 more days. Shows to contract. So this is the number of showings before a property goes under contract. Again, this is an average, and we're going to do the median and the average
and this
here.
This is for a single family, right?
Single family homes, entire state of Connecticut. So the median shows to contract. So let's say 15 showings, you should have at least one contract.
Right.
15 and a half showings, and you should expect one contract on a home, a single family home. On average, 21 showings, you should expect an offer.
Right. Wow.
So just to kind of put that in perspective, if you are talking to a seller, right, you want to say like, well, one, our days on market is 36 right now. We want to mm-hmm. definitely stay under that threshold, you know, as much as we possibly can. But right. also, if we have five showings and we don't get an offer, that's okay, because the median is 15 and then the mm-hmm. average is 21. So we're yeah. still in a really good place if it takes us a week or two to get to 12, 15 showings. And then we can start to expect a contract to come if we don't get one before that.
Exactly.
So that's the March numbers. But, you know, there's some other interesting numbers here in the state of Connecticut that we are going to break down for you. It is the number of million-dollar towns. We have a Now BAM article that breaks down the number of million-dollar cities in the U.S., and it hits a record high. And we will tell you all about that when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Welcome back to CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. I am Chaz Cook, joined by Rob Wallace and Alan on the spot. Low from the one team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team for transactions closed for the last 4 years in the state of Connecticut. That is not some award we paid for. That is based off the data on the MLS, which we were just breaking down for you guys in regards to where we are at for median sales price, days on market, shows to contract. What else did we look? New listings, closed sales. I mean, we broke it all down for you. So if you missed any of this and you guys are listening out there live, you can always head over to our YouTube channel and catch a clip, or you can go listen to it as a podcast anywhere that you catch podcasts, Apple, Spotify, whatever, all those other platforms, Cooper, mm-hmm. I don't know where. Just Google Podcast. I got the important ones, producer Cooper said. All right. And so now it's time for the One Team Weekly Rewind, brought to you by Service Station Equipment. Actually, the other day I was driving up 395. And I see this big red truck, and all of a sudden the license plate catches my eye, and it says "Bang Zoom."
Really?
Martin McKinney.
Oh,
yeah, Martin McKinney was out on the roads. I saw him with the "Bang Zoom" license plate, and so I drove right on by him. I don't think he recognized me because I was in my little Mini. I don't know if he knows what I drive. Probably would have tried to run me over in his truck, his giant truck. But no, Service Station Equipment, your residential tanking specialist, Dougie Brown, the Tank Man, will come over if you have any questions about your oil tank, if it needs to get replaced, if you're looking to upgrade, or if you actually can still find one that's underground. They will come, they will remove it, they will pull all the permits, they will do a great job. Might cost you a couple slices of pizza for the old Tank Man for lunch, but you can reach out to them at 1-800-801-TANK. And I've been saying it for 3 weeks now, and I'm going to say it again. They've also got that Irish Springs pool water truck ready to get filled up.
I'm opening mine next month.
I'm gonna
call him.
Oh, we need that warm weather to come in after this past week that we had with the rain and the wind and the hurricane or the earthquake.
And the hail and the snow.
The hail and the sleet. And you would think it was like we were going to go through all seasons like in mm-hmm. a 48 hour stretch.
It's New England for you.
Yeah, so get ready. If you're starting to think about you're in that summer itch and you want to get your pool open, you can always reach out to the Irish Springs Pool Water Company because they've got that secret tap where they bring the water. It is the freshest, clearest, cleanest pool water you will ever see in all the land.
When do you start swimming?
When do I start swimming? When I go in the water?
What month? How early?
May.
Usually like mid-May, second week of May. Yeah, I go in the ocean, though. I don't have a pool. I live down. Yeah, well, you live by the beach, too. Yeah. So. Yeah, when I go in the water. All right. So for the last 7 days, the one team had 3 new listings, 7 under contract, 6 closings, and 3 coming soons. And Rob, one of those coming soons is yours, right? We're going to tease it out there.
Yes, sir.
All right. So this is going to be a pretty quick run through with these new listings here because 24 Forest Street in Meriden, Connecticut hit the market for $350,000. It was 4 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just under 2,400 square feet. And is under contract. So congrats to Elena on that one, getting it listed and under contract in less than 3 days.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Next up, we've got 6 Naugatuck Street in East Haven, Connecticut, hit the market for $450,000. 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, just under 2,300 square feet. And guess what, boys?
Under contract.
Under contract. So congratulations to Allison on knocking that one out of the park. I don't even think that one made it 48 hours. I know Elena's was 3 days.
Wow.
Just I was talking to her about it, but I think Allison's was even quicker than that. All right. And our final new listing, 567 Vauxhall Street extension number 201-203. This is a commercial office space of 1,008 square feet. Rob, tell us a little bit about this building because you sold a unit here just about 6 months ago, right?
Yep. So commercial spot, tons of different offices. I believe hers is like 5 offices in one, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But great location, right off the highway, right in the heart of Waterford. Great location.
Waterford Professional Complex, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what else we got? HOA is 405. I'm assuming that covers all the groundwork or ground maintenance, driveways, trash.
The exterior and the common areas.
Okay. not bad. So, and this is, I mean, this is a deal to own a commercial office for $95,000.
I agree.
In Waterford, professional complex, tons of opportunities to do things in there. 5 offices, a waiting room, and a half bathroom. Each office has ceiling fans and soundproofing. And then the building also has an elevator for easy access to the second floor.
That's what I love about them. You go in there, it's so quiet. There's tons of offices, but it's so quiet.
I love that. So yeah, if you're looking for a commercial spot in Waterford for under $100,000, you can reach out to mary.pula@ravis.com. All right. Under contracts, 7 of those bad boys. We had under contracts in Colchester, Bridgeport, East Haven, Montville, North Brantford, New Haven, and East Haven. Closings. We had 6 of those bad boys. Congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Vernon, East Hampton, Ledyard, Kent, Bristol, and Bristol. Look at that. 12 Old Homestead Lane in Kent. Rod Crossy worked so hard for that one. He didn't even know he was selling in one of the top towns in New England to live.
Oh, wow.
All right. We've got 3 coming soon. So I'm going to drop some addresses, but I'm going to spare you the details just in case you are looking in those areas. You can make sure to tune in next week. We've got a coming soon in Cheshire, Connecticut, a coming soon in Colchester, Connecticut, and a coming soon in Waterford, Connecticut, right? Rob, one of those is yours. Are you the
Colchester? I am the one in Salem.
I'm Salem. Oh, that one didn't even make the list. It must have been a late arrival.
Just arrived.
All right. So there are 4 coming soons. So look out for that one in Salem. Open houses. We've got one going on today, just when the show wraps, starting at 12 o'clock going until 2 p.m. You can head over to 16 Laurel Street in Waterford, Connecticut, again from 12 to 2 p.m. today, Saturday, April the 6th. Going on tomorrow, Sunday, the April the 7th. Always, as always, the opportunity to head over to the residences at 66 High Street and check out what units are available. I know they just closed on one, put another one under contract, so they are going quickly. But if you are in the Guilford area between 12 and 2 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, April 7th, head on over to 66 High Street and see what they have to offer. Alan, you've done some open houses over there, right?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few. Love it.
Yeah. How do you manage, though? Like, there's different units on each floor, right? So how do you kind of control the flow of traffic and make sure that you're there to answer questions that people have?
Have you ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? That's essentially what I look like. It's hard. Do I take the elevator? Do I take the stairs? Were they in that room or did they float to the other room? And are they checking one of the other buildings or are they checking this one? We usually try to have 2 for that reason, but it tends to be 1. Wow. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
And it takes patience.
Well, personally,
I would always go stairs.
Stairs. Oh.
Because I got that feeling like you're like, all right, elevator is going to be quicker. It's on its way up. And then it goes right by you. See, or then you got to stop 3 times on the way down.
I always got to test the elevator.
Always stairs.
We're in Connecticut. We're getting earthquakes now. So we got to be careful.
That's true. Elevators. I don't want to get trapped in an elevator. Turn this into an episode of or the beginning of Speed, right? Yeah. All trapped in the elevator.
I like getting my steps in. So the stairs.
There you go.
All right. Also, tomorrow, 74 Witch Meadow Road in Salem, Connecticut, going on from 12 to 2 p.m. And 396 Raymond Hill Road in Montville from 12 to 3 p.m. And 1058 Peck Lane in Cheshire, Connecticut, going on from 1 to 3 p.m. All of those are on Sunday, April the 7th. And then we've got one coming up on Tuesday, April the 9th, also at 396 Raymond Hill Road, Montville, Connecticut, from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. That's an interesting one, an open house on a Tuesday.
I love doing twilight open houses after 5 o'clock and on the weekdays. I get so much traffic. I tested it a few years back, and I had a great turnout. I've been doing it.
I'm going to have to give that a shot. I think that's a brilliant idea. Everybody's on the way home from work. They're like, I can just pop in, and maybe we go out to dinner and talk about it as a family after.
Yep.
All right, so that's a new thing I'm going to try. I'm going to implement that into my business. But that's also going to do it for us on this week's One Team Weekly Rewind. All right, gentlemen, we got big news. I mean, the number of million-dollar cities in the U.S. hits a record high. There are 550 cities with million-dollar price points for homes. Now, they base this off typical homes, right? We still aren't sure what typical homes are.
Right.
So we went through and we found the ones in Connecticut based off of the median or average price. We went average price on that.
Mm-hmm.
But just to kind of put it in perspective, there's 59 more than last February's total of 491. So we went from 491 to 550. California is the state with the most million-dollar cities at 210. Not surprised there. It's up from 198 in February 2023. Followed by New York and New Jersey. I don't know why they lumped those two together, the two different states. And Florida, Texas, and Delaware are the only states where the number of million-dollar cities declined. All right, so California, New York up, some others up, but Florida, Texas, and Delaware all down.
I believe that. I've been seeing a study on Florida. 700,000 people went in during the pandemic, And as of this year, 500 people pulled out because of the heat.
500,000 people? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what they say. Can't stand the heat.
Get out of the kitchen.
Yep.
New York City is the metro area with the most million-dollar cities at 106, followed by San Francisco, 69, and Los Angeles, 63. Man, this is wow. That is just a staggering number. I mean, 550 cities. I know there's a lot of cities across really the country, is. Right? But, I mean, they're saying, you know, today's housing market is tight. We know that with inventory still too low. Mm-hmm. We did see that 0.1 of a month, you know, upgrade in months of supply from 2 to 2.1.
Right.
But we're not meeting demand, which is going to keep driving home prices up, even while buyers continue to face affordability challenges. Mm-hmm. And we've got the list of million-dollar cities by state, and we've also got the cities inside of our state that made the list. And we're going to share those with you when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Back for the final segment. I am Chaz Cook, joined by Rob Wallace and Alan on the spot low from the one team at William Ravis on CT Real Estate Radio, brought to you by Service Station Equipment, your residential tanking specialist. And right before we hit the break, we were talking about the number of million-dollar cities in the U.S. and how it has hit a record high at 550, up 59 from last February's total of 491. California is leading that charge, followed by New York and New Jersey. Florida, Texas, and Delaware all saw a decline, right? But Connecticut, we actually saw an increase, and we've got the list of the million-dollar cities in the U.S., and we're going to bring that to you. You want to go 1 to, what have we got, 25, or you want to go 25 to 1?
You know, we always go from bottom
to top. All right.
Go start from the top.
Starting from the top. Well, we already kind of dropped that goose egg,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So California comes in at number one with $210 million cities in February 2024, up from 198 in February 2023. At number two, New York, 66 in February 2024, up from 54 in February 23. New Jersey with 49, up from 35. I didn't think there was that. Like, New Jersey is not a big state. How many cities are in New Jersey?
I did not think it was that much.
Right, we got 49, or is just every city in Jersey worth $1 million?
I don't think so, but
somebody quick Google search how many cities are in Jersey, because Jersey's like what, half the size of Connecticut, and we've got 169 towns.
Yeah,
I bet you this is over 50%. I'll bet you guys all a coffee after
Jersey's
the show.
Pretty big.
How about we make that pizza and you get a deal?
Slice of pizza. All right, slice of pizza after the show. If this isn't at least 50% of the cities in Jersey,
52.
It's what?
So it's almost all of them.
It's almost all
52. Yeah.
There's 52 cities in Jersey, and 49 of them are worth the wow. Houses are worth $1 million on average.
Wow.
So wait, now what are you guys getting me? You guys are buying me pizza now. That was the deal. I was like way above average.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember saying that.
You're the one who threw the pizza out. Coming in number four, Florida with 32, which is down from 34 as of February last year. And the reason they're looking at February of last year is because it takes a little while to compile this much data. And so, mm-hmm. You know, we're only at April 6th here. We don't have enough time to throw March in here. And so, you know, that's why they do it. We're also coming up, you know, we just ended the first quarter. So now they're going to not look at March. They're going to look at the first quarter. So mm-hmm. We'll have different reports for that. So that's why we're looking at February 2023 stats.
Okay.
Massachusetts at number five with 31, up from 27. Colorado with 21, unchanged from February 2023. That's interesting to me because Colorado's got a booming real estate market to see. So to see them flat, I'd be curious to see like what their months of supply and their median sales price is. Washington at 18, up from 16. Hawaii, 17, up from 16. Oh, they must be counting all the islands there. I was like trying to like how many cities are in Hawaii?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Texas, 14 down from 15. Oh, so that Texas only lost one. Mm-hmm. Maryland, 10 up from 8. Virginia, 7 up from 5. South Carolina, 6 unchanged. Again, interesting to me.
I agree.
South Carolina's become the new Florida.
Exactly.
That's where all the snowbirds want to go. Mm-hmm. The cost of living. Yep. So I have some family down there. Like they're like, it's the real estate market is insane in South Carolina. I mean, things are so much more affordable. What you can get for $500,000 in Connecticut mm-hmm. is costing you like $3,250 in South Carolina.
Right.
And property taxes for that $500,000 house in Connecticut are gonna be like $8,000. They're like $3,000 in South Carolina.
It's crazy.
So I am shocked to see that they didn't see an uptick. But I'll make a bet in 2025 that they see an uptick in 2024.
I will agree with you on that. Because I know a lot of people from Florida going there and a lot of people from Connecticut going there. So.
Yeah. Coming in at number 13, my lucky number, the great state of Connecticut with 6 up from 5. But is it 6? And that's a question we're going to answer for you guys once we get through this list. Because, like I said, they use the term typical sales price,
which is not clear,
which isn't clearly defined. And so we went and we did average sales price, right? Because we don't want a median, because we know that's right in the middle. But if we look at the average, that'll give us a much better picture.
Okay.
Coming in at number 14, Minnesota and Utah at 6, up from 4. Illinois at 15, 6, up from 3. Missouri, 16, 5, unchanged. Number 17, Nevada, North Carolina, and Wyoming with 4, unchanged.
And I'm North Carolina, same thing.
Same thing. Yeah, that's another booming state.
Yeah.
Montana with 4, up from 3. Arizona with 4, up from 2. Number 20, Idaho and Tennessee. I got to figure out why they have multiple states with some of these. But Idaho is in Tennessee at number 20 with 3. New Hampshire, number 21 with 3, up from 2. 22, Ohio, flat with 2. 23, Pennsylvania with 2, up from 0. Oh, there you go, Pennsylvania. Way to get on the board.
There you go.
Delaware with 1, down from 2. And at number 25, we've got Georgia, Kansas, Maine, Michigan, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin, all with 1 unchanged. Wow. So I think when they put multiples there, it's because they didn't have a change. They just kind of stayed where they are. And then everyone else moved up 1, right? Like up from 2, up from 3, sense. Right?
Yeah.
But so we decided to dive into this, right? Because, I mean, if Connecticut has $6 million cities up from 5, like, where are that? Oh, where are they? And, you know, there is definitely the obvious Fairfield County.
Where
right?
are thou?
Where are thou? but a couple of them were a little bit of a surprise to me. And the number, actually, of where they are was even more surprising to me. So, well, Washington, where, did we ever figure out where Washington, Connecticut is?
I have no idea.
All right, so we're going to come back. We'll go with Roxbury. Roxbury, Connecticut. Actually, you know what? I'm even going to change that again. We're going to go from low to high. Coming in with the lowest $1 million city in Connecticut, and I say low, like low $1 million city, like it's a bad thing, like they're still over $1 million. Ridgefield with $1,010,000 average sales price across all property types. Coming in at number two or second, Washington, Connecticut, which we are still trying to find.
So it's near New Milford, right outside of Watertown, Waterbury. So it's pretty much right there.
Okay, right in that like
above
Torrington,
Newtown.
Yep, Newtown yeah. area. Okay. Washington, Connecticut, with an average sales price of $1,111,000.
Wow.
So we've got Ridgefield just over $1 million with $1,010,000. Washington with $1,111,000. Then we jump to Roxbury with $1,195,000 average sales price of a home. And then we go up to Weston with $1.26 million. That Weston was a sleeper town to me. I wasn't that familiar with it. And I actually met a client back in 2020 who, crazy story. I mean, this was, it sounds crazy now, but in 2020, it was the norm. He was outside mowing his lawn. Guy rolls up with New York plates and says, how much?
Yeah, I actually did a showing in Weston. So, no, it's curious because when I think about million-dollar towns in Connecticut, I'm thinking the coast or I'm going down to the Gold Coast, right?
Right.
You got New Canaan, Greenwich, all Fairfield area, all that, all that whole strip right there. So, and Weston's right there too, but
yeah, it like kind of sits on top of all those towns, you know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of towns by New York too. They're really rich areas, but
yeah. So New Yorker pulls up, says how much they worked out a deal. He did an off market deal. And then he was like, okay, I want to go buy a beach house. I'm tired of living. Like he had like 5 acres. It was like a 5,000 square foot house in Weston out in the middle of the woods.
Wow.
He's like, sold my house for a lot of money. I want to go buy a beach house. And like, that's what he ended up doing. Yeah. He got one down in Milford. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was just like a wild story. Like you hear about all those, but then to be working with somebody who had it happen to him, he was like,
pull up how much?
How much? Yeah. That was it.
I need that guy to drive through my neighborhood.
Right. Well, this was in like May 2020, right? So everyone was still kind of like freaking out, right? Didn't know what was going to happen, what to do. Everyone was trying to get out of the city. And he just happened to be outside and had a nice house. How much?
Wow. Being that close to New York has a lot to do with it in these areas.
Definitely does. Yeah, so true. Weston has a $1.26 million average sales price for their homes. And then bumping up to just under the $2 million mark, we've got Darien coming in at $1,925,000. All right. So far we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Connecticut towns over $1 million. We've still got more to go. Because now we break into the $2 million barrier, or maybe this was what they were with the variable. It had to be, no, they wouldn't just stop at $1 million. It has to be like $1 million plus.
Right.
But coming in just over the $2 million barrier, Westport, Connecticut, $2,040,000 average sales price for a piece of real estate there. That is bananas. But we're still not done because now we've got New Canaan at $2,050,000. And we still got one that blows everyone out of the water. It's the state. If you asked 1,000 people in Connecticut what the most expensive town to live in, I think you would get 990 of them to say this town.
Greenwich,
Connecticut. Yep. With an average sales price of $2,162,500.
Wow. That's on average.
That's on average. So yeah, that means that there's some properties going for much higher than that. So that is your list. And we counted it at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million dollar cities in Connecticut, not six, because we actually used a term that was definable, not median, not, well, they defined it as typical. We looked at median. Okay, see, that was 50-50.
We broke it down for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, let's look at average.
Statistics. Did we say Wilton on that?
We did not.
No. Yeah, Wilton right here, 1.1.
Well, so they're added on. All right, yeah. So at nine.
There's number nine. Yeah.
1.1 million?
Up
3.8%. So now we have $9 million cities here in Connecticut. Hmm. We've got Wilton, Connecticut, Washington, Connecticut, Roxbury, Connecticut, Westport, Connecticut, New Canaan, Connecticut, Ridgefield, Connecticut, Weston, Connecticut, Darien, Connecticut, and Greenwich, Connecticut, all breaking the million-dollar barrier for home prices. All right, gents, we got a little bit of an event coming up here in about 48 hours. We'll about call it 50 hours. This coming Monday, it's the talk of the town.
Oh, yeah.
And even though we're not even going to really like get the full effect of it here in Connecticut, it's still got people a little, I don't know, on edge, I guess I would call it. Like, do we have a shortage of like solar glasses yet? Right? Is that going to be a thing?
Like, I wish I bought stock.
Are we running out of toilet
those,
paper? Yeah. Right? And aren't they just like the 3D glasses you wear in the movies? That they look like. I'm not that familiar, so I'm just speculating here.
They do look like it, yeah.
But yeah, Connecticut is not, we're not within the path of totality where the moon will completely occlude the sun, but there will be an opportunity to see at least part of the solar eclipse on Monday. Mm-hmm. To witness a total eclipse, Connecticut residents will have to travel north to Vermont or upstate New York or New Hampshire. But parts of northwestern Connecticut will still get to see the moon eclipse about 94% of the sun at its peak on Monday afternoon, according to the National Weather Service. You know that northwest corner, right? That's Kent. That's Cornwall, right? That's Goshen,
right.
Norfolk.
Right.
Like, maybe we need to take a ride up there and go check out the solar eclipse on Monday. Northwest Connecticut, including North Canaan, Kent is on there as well. Yep. New Milford, Watertown should see a partial eclipse begin at 2:12, and the moon will reach its maximum coverage of the sun around 3:27 and then end at 4:37 p.m. In Hartford, the eclipse will begin at 2:13, peak at 3:27, and conclude at 4:37. So, you guys going to watch it or what?
Let's do it. Let's go together. We'll get you that pizza.
I know if you, the dad, I think taking your daughter to see something like that would be pretty cool.
We'll be in Florida, but
spring break for Alan on the spot, right? You're going to be sunbathing, right? So we're going to be sitting here in the dark in the middle of the day, and you're going to be laying on a beach drinking a margarita.
Pretty much.
All right, gentlemen, any final words for the 94 Niners out there?
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Have a good weekend.
He said it there. Thanks.
Had a great time. All right. Thank you, Service Station Equipment, for sponsoring the show. Thank you for 94.9. Thank you, Cooper. And that is going to do it for us on this week's episode of CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.